just have to make the choice to do it. Make the choice to do it now, not when you buy the next outfit or you have your hair done or you have your body in whatever way you've decided your body should look. You should just do it now because there are so many beautiful moments that go by so quickly that are worth capturing.
Hey mamas, before you get started listening to today's episode, make sure you click on over to the show notes specific to this episode number 3. Either in the podcast app, if you're listening on your iPhone, just go to the notes section under this episode, or you can go to the Mummatography website and you can find this at www.mummatography, which is mammatography.co/3, and you can see all the notes there. Now, why should you do this? That's a good question. This is kind of an interactive podcast. This is where you'll be able to view the photo we talk about on the show today for the How She Made It segment, and also where you'll find the link to download today's guest's free photo recipe. So you don't want to miss this episode, the beautiful photo and the photo recipe. There's so much goodness waiting for you over there. So make sure you click on over before we begin. Now, let's get onto it.
Podcast brought to you by Amy Oliver, photographer. My mum.
Hey there. Welcome to Mummatography, the beginner photography podcast just for mums. I'm Amy Oliver and I'm a mama of two cheeky girls, and I've also been a family photographer for the last 10 years. I'm on a mission to help you take better photos of your kids without the confusing technical jargon.
Mums don't have time for that.
I'll be sitting down with mamas like yourselves, professional family photographers and camera savvy Insta mums. We'll chat about taking photos of your kids, tips and tricks, and how the heck did she make that photo? As well as other stuff that mums talk about, you know, not sleeping, poo, play dates, the mummy juggle. I know you hear me. So grab a cuppa, put your earbuds in and get comfy. This is beginner photography and so much more just for you. Hey guys, this is Amy. I just want to welcome you to the third episode of the Mummatography podcast. Now on today's show, we have my gorgeous friend, Alan from Alan Talitha Photography. Now, Alan and I met probably close to 2 years ago now through friends and through a little photography group that I had started at my house. And it's been so lovely getting to know Alan over that time. She is an inspirational mama of three. She lives on the coast. She has really funny Instagram stories, so go and check them out. And she lives, in the Mornington Peninsula in Victoria, Australia. And when I think about Alan, the words thoughtful and intentional come to mind. And I really see those two qualities in her just as a person, but I also see them come through in her photography work as well. And I think I just really appreciate her approach to photography because of this. I'm really pumped to share today's episode with you. It is jam-packed, and I'm not going to lie, I did struggle to cut this one down just because there was so much value in our conversation. And we talked about her photography journey, how she got started, taking self-portraits, which in my opinion, I just think Alan is amazing at. We chatted about autism and additional needs in photography and just so much more. Let's stop talking. Let's get into it. I hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome, Alan.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Thanks for being here and sharing a little bit about your photography journey. Alan, I just thought we'd dive right in, and I just want you, just for people obviously who haven't heard of you before, tell us about who you are, where you're from. Do you have kids? Tell us all the things.
Yeah. So my name's Alan, obviously. Yeah. And I am based in Melbourne. I have three beautiful kids, a one-year-old, a five-year-old and a seven-year-old. My husband is originally from Zimbabwe and he moved here about 10 years ago. And now we have our lovely little life on the Mornington Peninsula.
What's one of your favourite things about living on the peninsula, Alan?
Oh gosh, being able to head down to the beaches.
I'm very jealous, especially for those listening. Melbourne, Victoria has been in lockdown. So actually to have beaches near you in lockdown, I can imagine has been pretty cool.
Yeah. I definitely feel very bad when I post photos of me hanging out on the beaches when everyone else is kind of stuck in their 5K circle. But
Exactly. You're very lucky. So Alan, obviously I've wanted to interview you because I think you're not only a lovely human, but amazing with the camera. And we'll get into a little bit more about why I wanted to chat to you a bit later. But can you just tell us, like, why and how did you get started in photography?
So I started taking photos, you know, in high school. I played around with a camera in art class and things like that, but I hadn't really kind of continued that on until I was a mum, actually. And one of the reasons was I wanted to take photos of my kids. But the other main reason was actually for my mental health. So I, at an early age, my son was diagnosed with autism. He's high functioning, but I would spend every night researching autism. I was reading journals, I was reading articles, I was trying to work out how to help him. And I actually found my mental health deteriorated. And so I needed to have a different outlet, and I couldn't just sit and do nothing. So I decided to research photography instead. I pulled some money together from a bit of a tax bonus that I got and bought my first camera and then spent my nights researching that as well as autism. So a bit more of a balanced life, really.
That's amazing. And yeah, what a cool story in that you were able to find something to help you in that way and not the overwhelm of, you know, the other thing in life that you were trying to navigate. And so tell me then, Alan, what was the camera that you bought with your tax bonus?
Yeah, so I bought a Canon 6D and a Nifty 50 lens. And it's the camera I'm still using at the moment. So more of an entry level full frame, but I love it. I'm really happy with it.
And so, Alan, when you set out to learn photography in the beginning, when you're doing all your research, what were some of the biggest challenges that you were facing?
I guess the first hurdle was making it okay for me to spend that money to buy the camera for no other reason than I wanted it and I thought it would bring me joy and something to do. So that was definitely the first hurdle, was to spend the money. And then it was, just learning how to shoot manual. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the kind of research and playing and learning kind of side. And I guess the biggest challenge came when I would start to compare. So the comparison of like, oh, but look at the photos they're taking and mine don't look that great. And so it was kind of getting over myself a little bit and going, well, just take photos of what you love and how you love it and don't worry what other people are doing.
So, Alan, you said one of your struggles was learning manual. So can you just tell me quickly, how did you actually learn manual mode?
It was mainly through YouTube.
Yeah.
Creative Live, but because I'd spent my money on the camera, I didn't want to at that point spend money on courses. So every day on Creative Live, you could do one free kind of stream a day so that every night when I put the kids to bed, you know, that often takes forever, I would just have my phone playing one of the Creative Live courses from the day and learn things that way.
Wow, that's really clever. Good on you. And so obviously that's like practically, you probably won't you didn't really have your camera in front of you when you were doing that. So I guess like you're listening to this stuff at nighttime and then I guess practicing through the day on your kids.
Is that- so then in the morning I'd get up or when the kids were in bed and start trying to figure out what all those buttons meant, you know, then get onto YouTube and see what else I could find and then just, yeah, practice on the kids during the day. If I shoot like this, what does it look like? Shoot like that, what does it look like?
And was it helpful for you when you were doing this? Are you like you're practicing during the day and you're just looking at the back of your camera and going, oh, no, that doesn't work, I'll just keep doing this? Or are you referring back to tutorials as you're doing it or a bit of both? Like, you know, was it I guess I'm wanting to ask is how much were you kind of just feeling your way based on the knowledge that you'd kind of, you know, soaked in at night to how much, you know what I mean?
Like, I think there was a bit of both. I think, you know, I would look at things at night the next day, pick them up and practice slow shutter speed, for instance, and like how slow is it to get a blur and how fast is it to get it really crisp. And so I would just spend the next day like playing with my shutter speed when I was playing with the kids and looking in the back of the camera, knowing most of the photos were of nothing, you know, kids throwing a ball or crawling across the floor or whatever. But yeah, that's kind of how I learned.
Now, Alan, when it comes to photographing your own kids, do you have a rhythm at all? Like when it comes to picking up your camera at home, as in like, are you, you know, how many times are you photographing them over a month or something like that? Is there an ebb and flow kind of to it?
Oh, there's definitely an ebb and flow. When I first got it, my camera, I was pretty dedicated at shooting every day, which was really good just to consolidate my learning, I think. And obviously it was new and it was exciting, so I wanted to spend that time and I was really enjoying it. then it kind of flipped and I felt pressured to do it every day. And I realized that took out some of the joy. So now I really just go in the ebbs and flows. And like you mentioned at the start, during stage four lockdown, there's been definitely a lot of ebbs. Is that the bottom? Anyway, not great for inspiration, I'll tell you that, locked inside of your house with your kids all winter. And so really I didn't take as many photos this year as I have previously, but then there'll be days where I'm like, oh, actually, I really want to go and take photos of my kids at the beach or take photos of the kids riding their bikes on the street, because that's what we've done for many months now, just ride up and down on the street, and I want to capture that. So I kind of just take the pressure off and shoot when I feel to and not shoot when I don't feel to.
Do you find that when you are wanting to photograph your kids, maybe when you are in a more in, you know, you're feeling able.
Yeah.
Are you kind of thinking it through the night before? Or are you just kind of like in the moment grabbing your camera? Like how, I'm just trying to work out from a planning point of view, like how much planning goes into taking photos if you're, you know, in your situation.
Yeah, I think it really just depends on the type of photo that I want to do. I do shoot a lot of documentary images, which I just have my camera sitting on my kitchen bench mostly, and I just pull it out, take photos of what's happening at the time. But if I have a particular shot that I've decided I really want to capture, I now put planning into that. I used to not put planning into that and say, I want to take this photo. Come on, kids, we're going to do this and blah, blah, blah. And it would usually result in me yelling. A lot, because I knew what I wanted and how I wanted it, and the kids weren't doing exactly what I wanted. And so I realized that if there's images I really want of my children, then I put some planning into it so that it runs as smoothly as possible. Because I found the images where I yelled a lot to get the image that I really wanted, I actually don't like.
Oh, I hear you. I've done exactly the same thing, Alan, and I've learned that lesson as well. And honestly, yeah, it really, I think for me it is like really thinking about, I mean, obviously there's times in the moment where you're like, yeah, just grab your camera. But yeah, if you're really wanting to take some good photos, thinking about it the day before and just making a little checklist in your head of what you need to do or how you need to prep your kids can just take so much pressure off everyone.
Absolutely, yeah.
Alan, is there a place that you are drawing inspiration from? Is there something that inspires you, or are you just kind of, you know, inspired by your kids and childhood, or like is there any other places besides kind of Instagram that you're getting your inspiration from?
Yeah, so I definitely draw inspiration from various places. There are some films that I really like. There's a film called Given, and it's just about this family and their travels around the world, and this film has not really any words to it. It's just stunning imagery with voiceover. And so I love that film. It's all about the family connecting with each other, the family connecting with nature, and the family connecting with strangers. And so that for me, those kind of films I do draw inspiration from, because I think that's what I would love to capture: kids connecting with nature, kids connecting with each other, kids connecting with their family, because I just think it's the most beautiful thing.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Is this an older film or a newer film?
No, it's new. It was on Netflix like 2 years ago. I don't think it is anymore, but it is very sweet if you can get your hands on it. Given is the name.
Are there any struggles that you face when you're photographing your own kids? And I ask this because I know that it is really hard to photograph your own kids compared to someone else's. But yeah, when it comes to you, I'm guessing, based on my own experience, that it's not all peachy and easy all the time.
No, and we definitely touched on this, because the yelling mum definitely comes out if I've got a very set agenda, and I have had to learn to let that go. And so that's a challenge. And, you know, I've also had to, my son is now 7, and there's definitely times where he's a bit too cool. He doesn't want his photo taken.
No.
And I am learning. I don't always get it right, because sometimes I'm like, just get it in the photo. But I let it go and go, okay, if you don't want to be photographed today, that's fine, you know, and move past it. And then just getting them to do what I tell them to do is never easy.
Yeah, I bet. Oh, gosh. And particularly, I feel like, you know, older boys, like it's a conversation I have that I feel like comes up in lots of photography Facebook groups as well. How do I photograph older kids? Because, yeah, they are a little bit too cool and they've got their own ideas. And if they're feeling a bit self-conscious maybe, or just a little bit like, I don't know. What do you think it is?
I think it is, you know, that adjustment coming into the preteens, or if their kid's in their preteens, it is this awkward kind of transition into teenagehood and then adulthood. So it's not easy. I guess one of the tricks I use with Austin is I'll say, okay, sit down. I'm going to have my camera here and we're just going to chat, and I might take your photo while we chat. And then I'll chat about things he really loves, like playing Mario and his Nintendo, or I listen to him talk about Minecraft Worlds, which is very painful to listen to. But we'll talk, we'll engage, and then he won't care so much if I pick up my camera and take a few clicks while we're talking, put it back down, and then focus more on his interests.
That's such good advice, Alan. I love it. That's so good. And Alan, you've mentioned that Austin does have some additional needs. And I was just wondering, as a mum and as a photographer, what is some advice that you have for other mums who might have kids with their own additional needs and they want to photograph them? I don't know. What are some tips or tricks, or what's your experience with that?
I think engaging in what their interest is. You know, if it is autism, sometimes they have a very particular interest area, and so just showing a lot of interest in whatever that might be at the time. For a while with my son, it was coconuts, so we would talk a lot about coconuts, and we would have photos of him holding coconuts because that was what he was interested in at the time. And so, and I actually love that because it shows who they are in that moment, and I can look back on those photos and go, do you remember when Austin was obsessed with coconuts for a year? You know, and it, because it's part of who they are, and yeah, just capturing their personality in a genuine way. And if that means letting them run laps, you know, if to run off all of their energy, then letting them do that, and then saying, and now see if you can stand still like for 3 seconds, and then capture that that still moment, if there's a moment of stillness you want to capture. So I guess just working with them, which most mums do so well anyway.
That's awesome. That's such good advice, Alan. Thanks.
But I would also say, don't be scared to book a professional photographer if your child has additional needs. Mm. Like all the photographers I know, which are amazing, like Amy, they are so accommodating, and they're so understanding of going, of course, like that's fine. If your child has these quirks, or if your child has this diagnosis, I will happily do what I need to do to capture these photos for you.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I would encourage people that even feel hesitant to ask the photographer to call them so you can have a chat. Because I think when you're talking, you know, just being able to talk out the session and what you do and what's involved and how the photographer can actually help you and your child will just take so much pressure off, I think, in
Absolutely.
And I know, like I've had multiple families tell me that they won't book a professional because they just, like, it's just too overwhelming and daunting for them, which I completely understand. But yeah, I would, like you said, I think there's so many great photographers out there that can really accommodate and really work with you. And so, and even, I don't know, Alan, what you think, but I kind of think like looking at photographers online and seeing if you can just get a sense of their personality and their feeling, I mean, you know, just through Instagram stories and just seeing who you connect with the most as well, when you're choosing your photographer, particularly in this kind of situation. And yeah, and call them, like, and if they don't want to have a phone chat with you, that's probably a good indicator that they're probably not the right photographer for you.
Absolutely.
It kind of breaks my heart a bit to think that, you know, there's parents missing out because they think it's not for their family, because I think it can be.
Yeah. And you're right, photographers can be really, really creative and get some, you know, epic images. If your child will never have a photo taken without a Thomas the Tank Engine in their hand, that's okay. You know, you make it all work. So
now, Alan, just as your friend watching you on Instagram and getting to know you over the last couple of years, I think you've been pretty amazing at getting in front of the camera yourself and taking your own self-portraits, but also getting other photographers to shoot you. But I'll come back to that part B in a minute. But one of the reasons that I really wanted to interview you was just to hear how you get yourself in front of the camera, because number one, taking self-portraits and getting in front of the camera is just logistically hard. I think number two, how you actually technically work it out can be tricky and overwhelming for mums who are starting. And number three, I think a lot of mums, and I say this because this is what I struggle with, they're just up against their own bodies, like, and they're a bit of a critic and they're just struggling to embrace their body after motherhood. So then trying to, you know, work out all that and then put your own body in front of the camera can just be a lot. And so I know that I've said a lot right now, but I thought we'd just start with, let's just talk about your self-portraits. So maybe, Alan, can you just tell me, why do you love taking self-portraits? Because you are really good at it and I'd love to hear more about it.
Oh, well, that's very kind to say that I'm very good at it. I think I just do it. So I think it's just a matter of making the choice that you are going to get in the frame that is actually the hardest part. That, yes, it's difficult to set it up and it takes time, but actually going, I'm going to get in the frame today is the hardest thing. But I want to be able to look back at photos of myself with my kids at this young age. I want to be able to pull out these photos of me with my kids when they were little to show them and their kids. And so it's just, I guess, showing up and documenting me as the matriarch of the family.
I love it. So good. And also, we can't, you know, you can't always afford a professional photographer, like, you know, multiple times a year. Like, you don't want to just be waiting to get in the frame once a year. So yeah, getting in a rhythm and just experimenting. I don't know, even a good goal, like I would think, and I say this to myself because I think I should do this more too, but, you know, a monthly self-portrait could be really cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So Alan, then, like, how do you actually do it? What gear do you use to take a self-portrait?
So I have my camera, obviously, tripod. Because I use the 6D, it's Wi-Fi, so it's connected to my phone. So I don't need a trigger because it's, I can just use my phone as the trigger to capture the images. And that's really all that you need.
Can I just ask, can you actually see the photo that you're taking on your phone? Like, can you see through your viewfinder?
Yes, you can. It's delayed. Amazing. So the biggest issue with using the Wi-Fi is there is a delay. So you press the button and then it goes click. whereas if you had a trigger set up on your camera, it is more instantaneous. But you kind of get used to what the delay is. And I just spray. Like, I just put my finger on that trigger and it just goes duh, 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 and I, while I'm like moving around with the kids or whatever it might be. So
do you ever struggle with your phone going the screen locking, like going into screen saver mode? Okay, good.
Yeah, that is annoying too. And again, but if you keep just holding the trigger and just keep firing images, you know, for 5 minutes, like
amazing. So this is just the Canon 6D, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm gonna put that in the show notes for people too. So because I think there's some cameras where it's easier to do this than others, but And are you choosing a spot? Like, how do you even know where to set the camera up? Like,
yeah, so I guess it's depending on the feel that I want. So there's times where I might want a self-portrait of me in the bed with the kids, so I'll have the tripod at the end of the bed. There's times where I've set it up in the backyard. Yeah, it just depends what's happening. I've set them up in the kitchen before and just did like time-lapse type photos of me baking, you know, to have those moments captured as well. So,
and we'll actually, Ellen, I'll actually get you to send me some of these self-portraits over the years.
Oh, sure.
And so we can add those to the show notes as well, so people can have a look at, yeah, what you've done. Because I've seen lots of your self-portraits, and I just think, yeah, they're beautiful and they're simple, and they just show you in your it's like real motherhood at home with your kids, and it's just such a special time in your life to photograph. So
yeah,
I commend you.
Thank you.
Good job. And Alan, I just wanted to ask, is your body after having babies something that you've struggled with or not? Like, does that ever come into it? Or, I mean, it sounds like you're pretty good now at just get in the photo, Alan.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It was a journey for sure, though. I have very, very few photos of me pregnant with Austin because I thought I looked terrible. And then I have the one or two photos I have of myself full term with him, I treasure, because I was like, this was my first pregnancy that I was full term. I originally would have died at the thought of being professionally photographed with my tummy on show. By the time I got to my third pregnancy, I was naked in the beach being shot by professional photographer and not caring. But, I mean, that was over 8 years or seven years. So it was a bit of a journey to be, this is the body I have and this is who I am right now. And sure, maybe I want to get fitter later, but it shouldn't stop me taking photos of what I look like today.
I hope everyone heard that. That's the best. Now we're going to jump into a new segment that we'll be doing most weeks, and it's called How She Made It. So this is a segment where my guest chooses an image that she's created, and we actually talk about how she did it on the podcast. So what she was thinking, how she was feeling, what inspired her, how she edited the image, were her kids even complying, and just anything else she wants to talk about. Now this might seem crazy given that this is an audio medium and not a visual one, but I guarantee you it still works. I would encourage you to just pause this podcast right now if you haven't done it already. And if you're listening on your iPhone, just jump into the podcast app and just click on this particular episode's notes and then the link will be there. Alternatively, you can just go to the Mummatography website, which is www.mummatography, which is mammatography.co/3. And this will bring you to Alan's Mummatography page with all the notes from today's episode, including the photo that we're going to talk about. And you can find that at the top of the page. So if you haven't done it yet, go there now, have a look at the photo. I guarantee it's only going to make your day better. And I really hope that this segment will inspire you in your own photo taking journey. And just that it'll also help you understand the thinking process behind how an image is made. So Alan, the photo that I have on my screen that we're about to chat about is absolutely beautiful. And I just wonder if you can describe the image now for listeners.
Oh, thank you so much. I actually do really love this photo too. It's a photo of me sitting in my backyard. It's just on a basic grinder stool. My daughter's straddling my lap and the image is from side on and I'm, yeah, just hanging out with her, playing with my hair. So
I love it. So Alan, talk us through this process of creating this image. So how much thought and planning did you, you know, were you planning this for a week, for a day, the morning of? How did you decide what you're going to wear? Like, to talk us through this process of creating this image.
So photo came about because I was trying to support some local Melbourne businesses during lockdown. And I bought this incredible outfit for my daughter from a Zimbabwean woman. So I thought, oh, I'd really love to get a photo of my daughter for her to use on her social media if she wants to. So, and I thought, actually, I have not had a photo with my daughter for months because of lockdown. So I thought, you know what, let's try and take some self-portraits instead. So I grabbed the grinder stool, which is actually using as a pot plant stand. Thought about it the night before. I thought, I'm going to take a photo tomorrow. So I was already psyching myself up and mentally preparing myself to, like, you know, be organized in the morning. So I had a look at the weather. It was overcast, which I was very happy about because it meant it didn't really matter what time in the morning because it was going to be nice and cloudy anyway. So when the morning came, I just grabbed a grinder stool, popped that outside next to the big trees, put my daughter in the outfit I wanted her to wear, which is a little jumpsuit in the traditional Shauna patterns. And then I needed to match in with her. So I wasn't going to wear something pastel and florally. I had to wear a dark thing. So I ended up actually just choosing an old maternity dress because it was black and that's the color I wanted. A belt that I'd found, I think, oh no, it was my belt. A pair of boots that were covered in mud. I did wash my hair that morning though on purpose because I knew I was going to take a photo and I put on some makeup. So I did not go and buy an outfit or plan it for weeks. I just wanted to be a little bit more, I guess, authentic of whatever I've got while still feeling like, oh, I feel good in this today.
It's just beautiful, Alan. And I'm just going to describe it a little bit more for people. So we've got Alan sitting on the stool and she's got her legs crossed and her skirt's kind of like pulled up a little bit higher because her daughter's obviously sitting on her lap. And she's looking down at Zaylee, but it's not, I love this because I really do. It's like just real motherhood. It's like, I don't know what you're doing. Maybe you can tell me, but it looks like you're kind of attending to her or giving her a face or telling her something, but I love that it's not perfect. Like, I love that this is like you just, I don't know, it looks like just attending to your daughter.
Yeah.
And I think, and I say this because it's my tendency, I think, with just my style of photography to always want to present an image that is, yeah, like, I guess people are paying me to photograph their kids and get the winning photos all the time where they're not always looking at the camera, but the more perfect looking images. And I think when we move to taking self-portraits, and especially, you know, wanting to capture motherhood and everything, it's just a different idea. It doesn't have to be this perfect image of motherhood, because motherhood is not perfect.
I love that. It is a bit, I think my brow is a bit furrowed. My hairline's receded because I've had three kids and I lost that. I've got some cellulitis on show. I'm not smiling this like romantic,
yep, exactly,
motherhood is easy all the time smile. It's just us. So, but a little bit glamorous at the same time, if that makes sense. So, you know, seeing the beauty in the everyday kind of thing.
It's just beautiful. And I think, Alan, one of the things that I love, like, is my favorite part about this image is just that you're in boots. I just feel like boots add I don't know, like they just add another story. Like if I didn't know you and I'm just looking at this image, like I just feel like boots are kind of, I don't know, representing like you're busy and you're ready to take on any kind of crazy, I don't know, kid breaking their arm kind of situation.
Yeah. And in this photo, my daughter does have a broken arm in a cast. And it turns out the reason why I was wearing mud boots in the backyard and it was muddy is because my stormwater pipe had broken and my backyard is a mud pit.
I just feel like that is just, the picture of, you know, of, what your motherhood is like and what motherhood is like in general. And it's just, I absolutely love it. I feel like boots, if you're wearing bare feet, the image would still be gorgeous. But like, I just feel like boots add this element to the story that is deep and hilarious at the same time. And I love it.
Thank you.
It's just a beautiful image. All right. So, Alan, coming back to part B of what I was saying before, I kind of said that you not only are you good at taking photos of yourself and doing self-portraits, but I think from an outsider looking in at you on Instagram, you've been pretty good at being professionally photographed by other photographers as well. Recently, I know that you booked a photographer to capture just yourself and your kids, minus your hubby. So I just would love it if you could tell us about your experience of being photographed and just tell us why you chose not to have your husband involved in this photo shoot and how did he feel?
For sure. Okay, there's a lot in that question.
I know there's a lot in that.
But that's okay. So the photos that you're referring to were taken by Amy Woodward. And I actually booked that photo shoot in the first lockdown in Melbourne. So you were not allowed to leave the house for other than the four reasons. But photographers were still allowed to do driveway sessions or in-window sessions. So at this stage, we've been in lockdown for many weeks. My husband was still going into work. So he was still off out of the house working every day. So it was really me at home every day, all day with my kids for weeks. And it's been a hard season. There's also been a lot of treasure that's come out of this time. But I thought this is such a unique time. I really wanted to capture it. And I wanted to do it for two reasons. One, as a way of just showing history to my kids, like we did this together. But it was also a bit of a healing photo shoot for me as well, where I wanted some honest portraits of me with my kids and me breastfeeding as well. And so my husband, he was fine. Like he didn't really care, but that he wasn't in them. I think because I had explained that to him too. I'd said like, I've been doing this with the kids. I'd love to capture it. And I would love to get just some very honest, real, raw photos of me breastfeeding Zaylee, because you just don't know how long they'll choose to breastfeed for. So, that's what I wanted to capture.
And can you just tell me a bit more about the experience? Like, were you nervous? Were you like, you know, what were you thinking going into the shoot in terms of what you were going to wear or what your approach, with what you and your kids were going to wear and look like?
Yeah, I think the approach was I'd try to do a self-portrait where I'd straightened my hair and I'd put on a whole heap of makeup and I was wearing an outfit that I wouldn't normally wear. And in the end, those photos don't resonate with me. It's not It wasn't really me. I was breastfeeding, yes, but I wanted something that was more authentic, I think. So again, like we set up the room and obviously it had to be through a window. So we had to kind of work out what window we were going to use and then move things around. I hung up a curtain so that we could kind of have a space to work. Mm. But again, like it was minimal makeup, a dress that I'd had from the summer. My hair was just out and natural. And yeah, it was just a little bit more of a me, I guess, with a little bit of glamour. But that was the magic the photographer bought. So,
and I've seen the photos and they're absolutely stunning. If anyone would like to go and check out Amy Woodward's work, it's just absolutely, it's beautiful. I resonate a lot with what you're saying, Ellen, about, you know, having, trying to take photos and wear things that you're not usually, you know, you're not comfortable in or that's not really you. Like I feel like I've had that experience too where I've booked a photographer and I've kind of dressed up and I felt like I was someone in a play, like, and my kids were wearing things that they wouldn't usually wear. And I just kind of thought that's what we had to do. And that's even me as a photographer. Just to be intentional and step back and just go, no, so what is it that I want to achieve in this photo shoot? And how can I kind of represent myself in the most honest way? I think they're really good questions to ask yourself.
And for me, my aim was to have an honest breastfeeding photo and the focus was going to be on the connection in those moments. And so the outfit I chose was very neutral color, very soft pattern so that it wouldn't distract from that. I had Zaylee, my daughter, was naked and we've got quite different skin colors. So to be able to see the difference in our skin colors, you know, being so much skin on skin, and those are the things I really wanted to capture, which kind of led me to how I wanted to set up the space or the outfit. So I started with what I wanted to feel and then made everything work with that rather than what I wanted to wear and then try and make the feeling happen. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. And I love it. It's just absolutely beautiful. I love it. And so tell me then, when you got your photos back after all this, how did you feel?
Oh my gosh, I honestly cried. Poor Amy had like a million messages from me going, oh my gosh, I love it. I cried. And, you know, I just couldn't believe it. And I think because there was that honesty that I wanted to see. And yeah, I just felt extremely proud that I had been vulnerable enough to allow her to capture these photos of me in a way that I'd never let anybody in before to capture, photos. Yeah. So,
yeah, and I think it's so amazing, Ellen, that photography can do this, that it can kind of open, I don't know, that it can open this door and give so much to you and give so much to your kids and make you, I don't know, make you vulnerable, but make you experience joy and, you know, confidence. And like, I just think, wow, like there's so much potential in a photography shoot if you have the, if you can think a little bit going into it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you're vulnerable and kind of willing to go there with a photographer. So Amy had me do things that I, you know, with my consent, I said to her, you tell me and I'm going to do it, you know? Mm. And so things unfolded naturally and things were prompted. And out of that came this kind of beautiful images that I love that are very much represent who I am, but then also she drew out some stuff that I would not have thought to do either.
I just want to encourage people who are listening that do book a shoot, like to know that photographers, especially, you know, mum family photographers, they want to get the most connection and the most honest photos most of the time, like, you know. And I just think, have those conversations with your photographer beforehand if you're wanting to be that intentional, because I guarantee that a photographer would probably do a little happy dance when they get an email from you like that.
Absolutely.
Just to have someone want to go on that kind of journey and enter into vulnerability with them is like the best gift a photographer can get. So
I agree.
So Ellen, I just wanted to say thank you for sharing your expertise in like and your willingness to talk about your self-portraits, because I think it's not something that lots of photographers do themselves. And even obviously people who are starting in photography, they probably wouldn't even think to start taking photos of themselves. They're probably trying to work out everything else, which I appreciate. But I would kind of say to people starting out, put this activity at the top of your list, because it makes you, I think, confident in, I guess, yeah, you can get used to what and see what your camera can do, but I think confidence in you and in your ability to capture, if you can capture your own kind of essence in a photo, gee, you can do that to other people as well. So I just kind of think there's a lot of value and a lot of learning to be had in practicing self-portraits.
Absolutely. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you feel and the more willing you are to keep doing it.
And Alan, with that, I was just going to ask you, if there was one nugget of gold that you could share with mums who are wanting to do self-portraits, what's one last bit of advice you'd have for them?
Honestly, just have to make the choice to do it. Make the choice to do it now, not when you buy the next outfit or you have your hair done or you have your body in whatever way you've decided your body should look. You should just do it now, because there are so many beautiful moments that go by so quickly that are worth capturing.
Ladies, have you heard about Mummatography's free photo recipes? Now, if you haven't heard, you're going to want to listen up, because Mummatography photo recipes are an exciting new resource that myself and my guests will be delivering to you guys for free every week on the podcast. Now, what is a photo recipe, I hear you ask? Well, it's basically a set of instructions, much like how a cooking recipe reads, that takes you through a series of simple steps to set up a beautiful or fun or creative scene at your home with your kids, so that you can practice your photography skills while your kids are engaged and entertained. So these recipes are designed to inspire creativity in you and spare the tears from everyone, including you. I really hope that these recipes are a gift to you guys and that they help take some of the stress away from involving your kids in your photo taking journey. I think every shoot I go on, one parent always turns to me and they say, what do they say? Don't work with children and animals. And they're exactly right. It is really hard. And I hate to break it to you guys, but it's even harder when it's your own kids. So I really hope that these recipes help you out, and look out for them with each new podcast episode. And if you want to get today's photo recipe that Alan has created just for you, then go to www.mamatography, which is mamatography.co/3, and you can download her recipe right there for free. I hope that helps. Alan, you have left us a photo recipe to share with the listeners, and fittingly, it is all to do with taking a self-portrait. So Alan has actually put together a photo recipe that is step-by-step that just kind of prompts you and talks you through the steps in order to make a self-portrait. So what a gift. Thank you so much, Alan, for putting this through. Is there anything else you want to say about the photo recipe that you've created?
No, just enjoy reading it. I hope to see people's photos that they've taken of themselves, let go of any preconceived ideas you have of what a self-portrait should look like, and then just have fun.
Yeah, exactly. And make sure if you do this photo recipe, please hashtag Mummatography photo recipe so we can see it. Alan can see it. I can see it. We can share it with other mums. And also, if you haven't joined our Mummatography Facebook group, then go to our show notes. There's links everywhere to join our Mummatography Facebook group. So please get in on that, because that's where a lot of the photo sharing is going to take place. So Alan, thank you again. What you've shared has just been inspiring and just invaluable. So many nuggets of gold in there. And I really appreciate you coming on and sharing. And I just want to ask you, if people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, sure. So you can just type in Ellen Talitha Photography. I do have the website and the Instagram page there. You can also, on my Instagram, Ellen Talitha Photography, there is a link to my personal page. So if you wanted to see more of my self-portraits, I tend to put them up on that site.
Awesome. And if anyone wants to book a session with Alan, then make sure you get in touch, because she is a beautiful person and she's a beautiful photographer. So I'd encourage you to connect with her.
Thank you.
But thank you, Alan. Thank you for being on the fourth episode of Mummatography.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, ladies. I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Ellen. Isn't she a special lady? If you had a minute and you enjoyed today's episode, could you please leave us a review over on iTunes? You know, this is a brand new podcast, and in order to get it out into the podcast world, we need to get as many reviews as possible. And it would mean heaps to me if you could just leave a few kind words. That would be amazing. Hope you have a great week, and we will see you next time.